Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Well, guys, it's a bye week, and it's always a good time for self-scouting. If you're Bill Belichick, what are you looking at during this time to improve getting ready for these last games?
I think it's simple. With the growth we've seen in the passing game, both sides of the ball, I think you focus on the running game, both sides of the ball. Your guy, Jonas Gray.
My guy.
Your guy. You want him to be the workhorse, the future Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Oh, he's going
to
be better than
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Well, you know, that's a 1,000-yard type back. They need a workhorse down the stretch. I think that's Jonas Gray. And then defensively up front, we've seen decent games against questionable competition. We've seen 200-plus yard games against Chris Ivory. Maybe get a little more consistency there, not just from the guys that are playing, but maybe Salinga comes back and guys get more comfortable, Akeem Ayers and that whole front seven, better against the run.
And not necessarily physical, but the penalties. I think they need to be addressed. I think Bill talked about it earlier in the week. Just the discipline, the overall discipline, I think they're on pace to have the most penalties for a Belichick coach team ever. So that's not a good thing. And I understand that you can continue to win football games. Seattle was heavily penalized last year, didn't seem to bother them.
Maybe that's the new NFL. If you lead the league in penalties, you win the Super Bowl.
But I do feel that some of the discipline stuff, we can take the physical stuff. And I know Bill says he doesn't want to deal with any of the penalties, but the false starts, the alignment penalties on offense, there's sort of needless penalties that are putting you in long yardage
situations. Wide receiver picks.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of that is physical. I'm talking about more. There's no excuse for not lining up properly. They've had illegal formations. They've had illegal motions and illegal shifts and stuff like that.
False start on a wide receiver.
I think those things can be eliminated, and I think that's one of the areas that they probably looked at in the bye.
Offensive line had its struggles early. Now it seems to be settled. Is that going to stay the way it is going forward?
I think so. I mean, personnel-wise, those are your best five. Those are your experienced veterans, and then you have Stork in the middle, and everybody seems to like how he's growing as a player in sort of a quick period here. I don't know if it'll be good enough. And, you know, I've said a lot. I have doubts about Ryan Wendell long-term as a guard, whether he's big enough, strong enough to hold up. Those guys in the middle still learning to play with each other. And if you face a stout defensive front, you know, you have the Lions on the horizon in a couple weeks. That'll test that group. But that's your best five. That's better than what they've put on the field previously. Now we'll find out if it's good enough.
Staying on offense. You know, the Brady and his targets had problems early in the season. That seems to have worked its way out. But is there anyone that needs to emerge? You know, teams aren't going to let, you know, well, they're going to try not to let Gronkowski beat them every week. So Brady's still going to have to find other guys who, you know, might emerge or would need to emerge in the second half.
I think it's Shane Vereen. He's coming down the home stretch here of his rookie contract. So, you know, it's a contract year, and that matters sometimes. But more importantly, that position in the Patriots offense, when they are at their best, makes plays. Makes key plays to extend drives, third downs. And you're right, he can take advantage of how well Gronkowski's playing. We've seen that at times where he sort of leaks out for that little touchdown where no one goes with him because three guys are going with Gronk. He just needs to do it more consistently. The little flare routes they've had trouble with at times, whether it's the wheel route, clean all that up and become a consistent Danny Woodhead, Kevin Falk type rather than what he's been.
And Andy, I just wanted to get back to at the very beginning, Andy talked about running the ball better. And I do think that Vereen can run the ball better out of some of those spread looks that they do. A lot of draws in long yarded situations. I don't think that he has maximized the yards. He had one game where he was about 10 yards a carry. We haven't seen a lot of that. And I think that he can get a little bit more of that because the opportunities that he's going to get to carry the ball are a little bit different than the ones Jonas Gray gets. So I agree. Vereen's a good pick for a guy who could do more.
Do you think with the attention on Gronk, a guy like Tim Wright might see more opportunities?
I think that's an up and down kind of thing. I think depending on game plans, he could be a bigger part. We've seen him do it. We've seen him catch some touchdowns. I think he's a capable receiver. And I think when Belichick decides that he makes sense against a particular defense, you'll see a little bit more of him. And then there's other weeks that he's going to be more quiet. I would almost put Brian Timms in the same kind of thing. Every game, it seems like he's out there for 8 or 10 snaps, and sometimes he gets a ball thrown his way. Sometimes he doesn't. I think it's probably a game plan.
Well, Randy Moss is coming back anyway, so, you know.
Well, you're going to stir that up, are you?
Well, you know what I like best about this conversation? We're not talking about getting better in pass coverage.
That's good. Well,
until maybe after next week.
A couple weeks, we'll check back with you. Yeah, right.
Bye week is always a chance for the players to get a little bit relaxed and recharged and re-energized for the second half of the season. I think it came at a very good time for the Patriots. A couple of guys on defense nursing injuries. Chandler Jones, Silva Salinga. they get a chance to get a little bit more rest in. Maybe they get a little bit closer to returning to the field. But even guys that are already playing that haven't played a whole lot of football, I'm talking specifically about the newcomers, Akeem Ayers, Jonathan Casillas, they get a little bit more acclimated with the Patriots' way of doing things. And even Brandon Bronner, who's only played in 3 games since coming off suspension. So I think even though the Patriots were on a roll with a 5-game winning streak and playing at a very high level, the bye came at a good time. Now, hopefully the team and the coaching staff and everyone involved really took advantage of that extra time, because it's not going to be easy for the Patriots coming out of the bye. A very difficult stretch of games, 3 road games in 4 weeks. Starting off in Indianapolis on Sunday, it's not going to get any easier after that. At home against Detroit, at Green Bay, at San Diego, a very daunting stretch of the schedule right here. And obviously the Patriots have a lot at stake here with seeding for the playoffs, division at stake, and all those other ramifications that go along with home field advantage in a first-round bye. So not going to be an easy stretch, even though the Patriots are rested and ready to come out of the bye. What's really interesting is the Patriots headed to the bye the last couple of weeks, the last couple of games, Bill Belichick throwing a little bit of a wrinkle into the punt return game, having Danny Amendola back deep to return punts, giving Julian Edelman a little bit of a rest. And then he would pick and choose his spots with Edelman, and really it worked to perfection. Against Chicago, he ripped off a long one, 40-some-odd return there against the Bears late in the first half. Big play in that football game. And then obviously the huge touchdown against Denver that even got Tom Brady to leave the bench, run all the way to the end zone, a breathless Tom Brady, to congratulate Julian Edelman. So hats off to Bill Belichick for really tossing a little bit of a monkey wrench into the special teams, and he came up big at the perfect time.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Obviously, the question on everybody's mind here with Darrell is, you going to be back next year?
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide.
Images of the week come from the pages of Patriots Football Weekly in the community. This first one is Devin McCourty visiting Children's Hospital. Here's Robert Kraft and Bianca Wilfork with the Ladies Association. Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski with Make-A-Wish. And here's another one with Rob Gronkowski doing some Play 60 work.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Big guest this week, Patriots cornerback Darrell Revis joins us. And obviously the question on everybody's mind here with Darrell is, you going to be back next year?
It is.
All right, obviously we're going to move on. We'll talk a little bit about the bye week. And you guys went in on a roll, winning 5 games in a row. The offense really playing well. Yeah. The defense with one of its best performances of the year against Denver. Is that a bad time for a bye because you guys were playing so well?
No, man. We feel, we knew what the schedule was, and, you know, we knew that was a big game. And we wanted to go into the bye week with a win, and we definitely accomplished that, and we showcased that, that Sunday.
How much has the secondary benefited from having a guy like Brandon Bronner back in there the last few games? It seems like you guys have been really physical and really enjoying it, feeding off one another.
We're happy to have him back. we wish we could have had him the first 4 games. But at the same time, man, he's came in and, he hasn't looked back. And, we're just happy to have him, happy to have his physicality that he brings to the defense. And I think everybody feeds off his energy. And that's what we try to do, is feed off his energy and play lifestyle football.
For you personally, and you had talked a little bit earlier in the year about the stuff that you were used to with the Jets was a little bit more man coverage. Here, a lot of different stuff. Have you sort of settled in and gotten used to and kind of embracing, the multiple game plan aspect of what Bill Belichick likes to do on defense?
Yeah, it's great, man. Bill is very smart, and he has a lot of knowledge, about the game. And whatever's best, for the defense to put us, whatever the best scheme is, he put us in, he feels that's best going to help us win. I'm for it, and I think everybody's for it. And we've been playing great, with the different schemes we've been running so far.
So obviously you come off the Broncos game and you have all had to deal with all those weapons, Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas and all the rest, and it doesn't really get any easier now with the Colts here. How do you approach it? Not specific game plan type stuff, but how do you approach just, you know, T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne, guys that, you know, Reggie Wayne, a guy I'm sure that you've gone against many times in the past. How do you sort of approach the Colts?
We're not a our defense is not a stranger to this offense that we're going up against come Sunday. They're very explosive offense, one of the best in the league. So we're looking forward to the matchup, and we just got to continue to just keep working and game planning as best we can. And come Sunday, you know, hopefully pull a win up.
You know, the beard's coming back in now. When that's off, you look like you're 10 years younger. I think that does you very well.
That's the look I was going for, to be 10 years younger.
Thanks a lot, Derek.
All right, you're welcome.
We get back to the matchups this week in From the Heart, and that's going to Indianapolis. We know about the Colts' high-powered passing attack, but their pass defense, susceptible. Patriots were hitting their stride before the bye, throwing the football. Colts 27th in pass defense, only 6 interceptions, 16 touchdowns allowed, over a 90 passer rating for opposing passers. And guess what? Darius Butler, Sergio Brown, old friends, cast-offs from the Patriots' defense, are playing starting roles for the Colts. Gronk and company should attack that pass defense and attack Sergio Brown in the middle of the field. Now we'll flip things to the other side of the football, where Andrew Luck and the Colts passing game present a major challenge for the Patriots' new-look secondary, Revis and Browner. Coming off a great performance against Peyton Manning and the Broncos, test gets even more diverse. If you look at Luck, 26 touchdowns, just 9 interceptions. T.Y. Hilton, 16 yards a catch. Reggie Wayne, a possession receiver. Couple tight ends that can challenge you, Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener. Even a back out of the backfield, Ahmad Bradshaw, has 7 touchdowns. In fact, Luck has 7 guys with 20 or more catches, 6 guys with 2-plus touchdowns, 9 guys with a catch of 20 yards or more. It's not just T.Y. Hilton, it's not just Andrew Luck. It's a major challenge. Heading to Indianapolis for Sunday Night Football, matchup of 2 of the highest scoring offenses in football. Andrew Luck, number 1 scoring offense. Tom Brady, number 3 scoring offense. Should be a shootout, but could be a close game. Close games could come down to turnovers and the kickers. In terms of turnovers, Patriots have a big advantage. Plus 12, best in the NFL. Colts are even. Patriots have more than twice as many takeaways. Big advantage for the road team. Not as big an advantage with the kickers. Adam Vinatieri hasn't missed a kick all year, 20 for 20. And the only other kicker in the NFL with 20 field goals? Oh, that's Steven Gostkowski. 1 miss. If it comes down to the kickers, flip a coin.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You're telling me Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field
does not scare you?
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Few teams have spent less time as one of the better NFL teams than the Carolina Panthers. Remember last year when their defense and Cam Newton led them to the playoffs? They even beat the Patriots in the pass interference game. Now they are struggling at 3-6-1, coming off an utterly non-competitive effort against the Eagles on Monday night. A big part of the problem is Newton. He's obviously ailing and teams know it. They are daring him to run and he's having none of it. Without that element of his game, he's just not the same guy and he can't adapt. Newton's head coach insists he's fine, but he's not. If that's the case, then he should be benched for lack of effort. So either he's hurt and he needs to take a seat, or he's fine, but he's not trying. Bottom line, he is hurting his team right now.
I know a lot of Patriots fans don't like to hear from people like me that tell you how bad the AFC East is and has been throughout the Patriots' run of dominance, but really it was in full effect on Sunday heading into the bye week. Two teams, Miami and Buffalo, 1 game behind the Patriots with an opportunity to stay right on their heels and have a chance to win this division for the first time in forever. And they both threw up all over themselves. Buffalo loses at home to Kansas City in a game they absolutely dominated. And Miami had a chance to go and have a big statement win in Detroit. They couldn't get it done. Leading with a minute left, they couldn't make a play to close it out. And even the Jets, the lowly 1-8 Jets, 8-game losing streak, they even helped the Patriots out by beating a previously hot Pittsburgh team. Right now, this AFC East is every bit as bad as it always has been.
Jim Harbaugh's had a great three-plus year run in San Francisco. Three straight NFC title games, a Super Bowl appearance. But it looks like that marriage could come to a really bad ending. Harbaugh was nearly traded to the Browns last offseason. This year, team's not off to a great start. NFC title game a long way off in their hopes. But it's more than that. He's eavesdropping on conversations with players in the locker room, feuding with the media about those conversations. He doesn't get along with his GM, Trent Baalke. He only has 1 year remaining on his contract. It looks like he's going to be done at the end of this season with the 49ers, although it'll work out for him because he'll get a big money deal to go to, probably Michigan, where they're going to need a head coach. It's his alma mater, so he'll end with money, but his legacy in San Francisco will be tarnished.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
Right now, the Patriots are 2-0 in a six-game stretch in which many people thought the team's mettle would be tested. The question coming out of the bye is, are the next four games as daunting as they once appeared?
Absolutely. I mean, you're playing two of the best offenses in the league on the road in Green Bay, and next week against the Colts, or this week, I should say. You're playing against the Detroit Lions, who, if there's one thing they can do, it's get after the passer. And we've seen what the Lions can do to Tom Brady before. There's no reason why this isn't as daunting as it should be. Not to say that the Patriots won't do well, but sure, this is as much a test as it was when we looked at it at the beginning of the season.
That's ridiculous. This team struggled offensively coming out of the gates. Gronk wasn't himself, and they couldn't put 30 points if they tried. Now they roll out of bed, and what do? They're 30, 35, 40, 45, 50
points. So the Patriots
points.
Are playing better, and we're going to demean them? That means everybody else isn't?
No, but those other teams
makes
aren't
no
as
sense.
Good
it's a flawed
as
argument.
Gronkowski
it's a flawed argument.
And Brady.
Yes,
the offenses are not as good.
The Patriots playing better has nothing to do with how the Colts or the Green Bay Packers
because
are playing.
Originally
they're
we thought
still great teams.
This was going to be you taking a knife into a gunfight. Now
Listen,
it's an even-matched Uzi versus
no,
a shotgun.
The only difference is that the players, if the Patriots were playing the way they were in the first one, they
lose.
Would lose.
And the difference
now
is
now
there's
win.
A chance they could actually
but
run the six-game stretch.
It's still the same
You're already
challenge.
2-0. You already beat the best team in the stretch.
It's still the same challenge.
The Broncos are the best.
Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field
does not scare you. Guess what? Because we have Tom Brady
By
at Lambeau
way,
Field
those
scoring
have,
40
those
points.
Those teams have as many wins as the Patriots do.
Well, actually, they don't. Not all of them.
Well, just about.
Yeah, they're close. The whole league is close. Everything is
no,
close if you
want
to look at records. But the Patriots
the
in the last
is not
five
close.
In the last
you
five
keep saying
games,
things that don't make any sense.
In the last five games, have the Patriots been the best team in football?
One of best, absolutely.
Oh, so not
I
the best.
I can say the same thing about
so
Green Bay.
So not the best? No, you can't actually.
Yes, I can.
No, they've had hiccups. What happened when they went to New Orleans?
The Patriots haven't
they
had hiccups.
They fell flat on their face. In the last five games, they have not.
The Patriots playing better does not mean that Green Bay is not. It does not mean the Colts
it
are not.
It doesn't matter. When the
yes,
Patriots are at
matter.
Their best, they can beat anybody.
Listen,
they're at their best.
You're always,
now,
you're
they
always,
weren't to start
this,
the season.
This is as much a test as it's always been. You're always looking to see how well you are against the other good teams in the league, and these teams are some of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, they're not. The Chargers
that hasn't
stink
changed.
Now. The Patriots are better.
That hasn't
the
changed.
Patriots will roll. Fred is always against the Patriots.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. Locked and loaded for New England's wicked winter weather. Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Here's this week's fantasy tip, brought to you by DraftKings. Don't undervalue the importance of choosing a top-tier defense. In 8 of the 10 weeks so far this season, a defense with over 20 fantasy points has been in the DraftKings perfect lineup. Remember, you can win real cash prizes playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com. Head over there today and use the promo code PFW to receive a free entry into a weekly fantasy football contest.
All right, it's time for questions here on Patriots Football Weekly. But what happened to Paul?
Well, you know, we talked about self-scouting earlier. We did a little self-scouting for the show, and he's dead weight, so we let him go.
All right. Okay, well, you know, things have, you know.
They lost the fat man, and we're running lean.
All right. Well, first, before questions, as always, we do the Wilson Howard Power Index. Let's see if you can keep your streak of actually making sense going.
Well, you can be the judge. I'm fine with that. Number one, your New England Patriots remained in the top spot
over
the bye week.
Makes sense to me.
We now have a tie for the number two spot. The Denver Broncos remain in number two, but now tied in that same spot, the Green Bay Packers, who are coming on, and oh, by the way, are on your schedule coming up. And then down the bottom, Fred, unfortunately for you,
The Jets beat the Steelers, so they moved up the rankings.
Okay.
Jacksonville Jaguars take over 32nd place in the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
All right.
Okay, let's get to the questions. This first one comes from David, and he says, Randy Moss said he would consider coming out of retirement in the right situation with Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Do you think the Patriots might take Moss up on his offer?
I don't. I think that is water under the bridge. That bridge is probably a little bit burned, a little charred from past experiences. And I'm not sure there's the need. He says he didn't retire because of the physical, but I'm sorry. He's a 37-year-old receiver who, last I saw him, was not Randy Moss. I don't even think he could take the top off the defense like Brian Timms can at this point, the guy he mentored. So what are you looking for?
And even if he was close to being Randy Moss, too much of a...
Oh, no. See, if he was 23 touchdowns, Randy Moss, I'd bring him back.
Oh, no, but he's not.
But
you
he's
know
nowhere
that.
Near that.
Right.
He's a complimentary player, and he's not a complimentary person. So, therefore, those two roles don't marry up.
All right. Doug writes in, why haven't we seen more Brian Timms this season? We keep hearing how much the Patriots miss that deep threat, yet the guy most likely to give it to them isn't in the game.
So we're not happy again with 30-plus points.
Right.
Because that's what this team
has
averaged.
Who's coming out of the game if Brian Timms is in?
And what are you looking for? You're scoring 50 points. You're scoring 40 points. You're averaging 30-plus points. This offense is clicking. Gronk is dominating. The complimentary guys are doing their job. And we're seeing Timms on the field.
Yep.
They bring him out. They run him deep a couple times. But every time he runs deep, he's not going to be the target, and he's not necessarily going to catch it.
Yeah.
He is a complimentary player. They'll take shots with him occasionally. But guess what? The offense is really good.
Be happy that they're scoring 40, 50 points, and they don't need him. Ron writes in, why is James White, a fourth-round pick, hardly playing? Is he injured, or is he in Bill Belichick's doghouse?
I don't think it's either. I just think it's a situational thing. Shane Vereen, which is good, has stayed healthy. Shane Vereen is your third down back. And I think your backup third down back is Brandon Bolden, who's also a very good special teams player. So you kind of double up on those roles there. And I don't think White has a role on offense or on special teams, so he's inactive.
I never understand these questions when you're playing well. Why isn't this guy playing?
Should I hold up the Wilson-Hart Power Index where it says one next to the Patriots? Do you want him to be? What's better than one? Nothing.
Right. Sean writes in, I was wondering, with the inconsistent, unproven runners in the backfield, is there a chance Ray Rice gets an opportunity?
No chance.
Not on
Robert
the
Kraft is on the record. They would not be signing Ray Rice. And by the way, I know this is a serious topic, but in a less serious topic, it's hard to take you seriously when you're reading off a phone.
I lost my tablet, so what can I say? All right.
Technology screwed you again.
Every week, send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com.